It's time for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Welcome to today's episode of the Coaching Perspective. Our topic for today is the power of service, and joining us will be the founder of Wildflower Coaching, Sarah Warman. But first, if you're listening to our podcast, where were you when we were broadcasting live? Well, thanks for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. While you're there, be sure to check out our archives for other shows from the past with some great guests. And speaking of guests, if you'd like to be on the show, we're always looking for coaches, CEOs, and HR professionals to interview. Just send me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com. And again, if you missed any of our previous shows, just go to either dgefeller.podbeam.com or our webpage, thecoachingperspective.com. Well, as we said at the start of the show, our topic for today is the power of service with Sarah Warman. Sarah's new to Orange County, but not new to providing service to others. Most recently, she comes to coaching from the hospitality industry, and she's going to be talking to us about the parallels between coaching and the hospitality industry. You know, the goals of both, as Sarah says, are to make an individual feel seen and heard, to make a person feel that their preferences matter, and to recognize that we don't all want the same things and that we all have a unique set of values. As she says, it's about feeling special. It's the knowledge that there is some magic in creating that kind of experience with both guests and coaching clients. Well, welcome, Sarah.
Thanks, Doug. Happy to be here.
Hey, it's great to have you here. I have been looking forward to this for over a month now.
Me too. It's pretty cool. I've never done anything like this before, so checking it off my bucket list.
I didn't know we were on anybody's bucket list. That's great. Well, really, for the audience there, I met Sarah about a month ago, and boy, that first meeting was just electric, and I have been waiting to share her with the rest of you in our audience today. Like I said, she's new to Orange County, but boy, she is going to have a dynamite impact on us. Well, look, tell our audience, Sarah, about what did you do before what you're doing now? How'd you get to this point?
Sure. Well, we've got 45 minutes, right? I've always been in sales. I've been in sales my whole life. I think the first time I remember being in sales, I was probably about 5 or 6 years old, and I sold a rock to everyone in my neighborhood for a dollar, which my mother was seriously thought that was pretty crazy, but got me into Girl Scouts instead so I could sell cookies rather than rocks. But moving forward, I graduated from college and I asked my folks for laser vision correction surgery as a college graduation gift. And they asked me, well, they gave me a job, basically. I wasn't almost on the spot, not on the table, but after I paid my bill. So I went directly into medical sales. It wasn't really part of the plan, but it was sort of how things happened. And I was there for about 3 years, and I lost my job, and I was terrified. And I think, like a lot of people, you just continue to do the thing that you were doing. I didn't give it a lot of thought. So I stayed in medical, got a couple of pharmaceutical sales jobs, and I was really great at it. I mean, I was making pretty good money, and I was knocking out the sales goals and still felt really unsatisfied. So I signed up to see a CEO give a speech at a luncheon one day, and his name was Phil Roberts. He was the CEO of Parasoli Restaurants, which was sort of the mastermind behind Buca di Beppo and Ocean Air Seafood Room.
Oh, okay, sure.
Yep. A couple of other small restaurants in the Minneapolis area. And he gave this great talk about how he really wanted to create experiences for people that made them feel like celebrating, like they could come together, like they could be who they are, family, friends, you know, have a drink, have a meal together and just share this community or these places that everyone could come and just connect. And it was like I got struck by lightning. It was the first time I ever felt like that was a mission I could get behind. And I said out loud, I am going to make this guy want me to work for him. He's going to beg to want me on his team. Now, I didn't know that I was seated at a table with his entire family, and I didn't know why they were looking at me strangely, but I wanted to will it to be so. They didn't say anything to me at the time, so I didn't know how foolish I ultimately looked in that situation, but I did follow him around until he gave me a job. So that was my first foray into hospitality, was working in the restaurant industry. But I actually knew, I think, at a much younger age, I was real. I mean, before even grade school, my grandmother was a waitress and she worked in a bar. She's a cocktail waitress. And I would sit with her at the bar and I would watch all these different people come in, you know, some people alone. And they'd say they want to be alone, but they came inside these four walls looking for a place to be alone with other people being alone. there were also people that would come to celebrate, and there were all kinds of people in between. So this whole idea of there's a tear in my beer, or let's have a round on everybody, I'm celebrating something. It was this grand sort of collection of people all experiencing life in one place that I really loved being a part of. And really the first coach that I ever really recognized was a bartender.
You know, you told me that before the show and I haven't been able to get that out of my head. So I'm glad I now have a backup occupation to fall back on if coaching doesn't work.
Well, there's that. You'd be great at it. Yeah, so I sat in those environments, and perhaps I even did a little coaching of my own. I don't know. I was five or six, but I got paid in Shirley Temples and nickels and dimes for the jukebox. But people wanted to be in that place where they felt connected. So I think that was what that where my heart sort of got hit when I heard that speech by Phil Roberts. And working for him was really eye-opening in what things have to happen in order for a person to feel like they're given a personalized experience in that atmosphere. What I mean by that is a whole lot of things have to happen with different types of teams and different personalities to make someone feel, after they've left the place, that they want to come back. It's not really necessarily about, I ordered the steak medium rare and that's what I got, so I had a great experience. Sometimes you can completely screw up someone's experience and earn their business by the way that you follow up on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent a lot of time working in that company and really kind of dug my heels in and watched the restaurant industry. There's something really primal about people coming together and eating and drinking and, like I said, celebrating and expressing this range of emotions and life events. So moving on from there, I wanted to investigate hospitality on a larger scale. And I helped open the W Hotel in Minneapolis catering manager. Yeah, well, I'll tell you, it was the hardest job I've ever had, and I probably learned the most. It was 2 weeks before the Republican National Convention, before we were supposed to open our doors. So we knew it was on this large national scale, and boy, the amount of teamwork that goes into something like that is pretty staggering. and it's with teams that, you know, you may not necessarily pick. It's with people that are really different than you. You're spending 12 to 15 hours a day with people that aren't your family or people you choose. And so it was, you know, it was magical when you were able to kind of get it together and create things for people. But I also started to observe, you know, sort of where the breakdowns might occur in that environment.
You know, I'm really, I just have to say, I'm so envious of the fact that you early on sort of had that aha moment of hearing somebody speak and going, that's what I want to do. This is my calling. Mm. And, you know, so many of our clients as coaches are struggling with that. They're working at something, but they haven't really quite figured out yet
exactly
really what it is that they have a passion for. Mm-hmm. And of course, that makes all the difference in the world. The other thing I want to just point out there is, you know, that ever since you and I first talked, you've had me thinking about it, is your emphasis on the experience. You know, I mean, that's what it's all about. It's not about the hours we're selling. It's not about the product. It's what was the experience like? we can buy anything on the internet. We could buy it on a store. We can buy it down the street. We can buy it in the next city. We can buy it at the mall. We can buy it wherever. But we go to the places where the experience is most enjoyable.
Absolutely. And that's what brings us back. And I realized, you know, ultimately that's sort of what took me in the direction of coaching and talking about this as it relates to hospitality and individuals, is that really what drives everyone is the experience they want to be having, whether you want that for yourself or you want that for your clients or guests.
Yeah. So when you think of coaching, what is the experience you want to give the client? I know I'm going off script here, but you're good at this.
Well, let's see. I can shoot from the hip. What's the experience I want to give my client? I think it's really, you know, a lot like what I would want to give a guest in hospitality or hotels. You want to make someone feel like they are listened to, that, you know, I'm not a color by number person. I have desires or needs or certain things that might not be the same as the person next to me. I don't want to feel weird for asking for that. And also, to know that the person helping, either me as coach or me as event planner or what have you, that I want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
That orchestrating an experience like that for you matters to me.
Well, you know, those of you who are trained coaches out there, do you hear some of the core competencies of coaching coming through here? Very, very good. Well, look, Sarah, what are some of the challenges of being new to Orange County?
I might just take that in a different direction and say being new anywhere is a challenge. It's maybe not specific to Orange County, but you know, you don't know what you don't know about your new town and its people. And I don't have the luxury right now of living in a place where people, clients, or businesses know me personally or know the work that I've done. So I can't stand on my experience here necessarily, but looking forward to getting to know some people in the industry and in the community and make some new friends.
Now, you mentioned that you, you know, sort of had a little head start in that you, because of your connection with coaching and your coaching training in that, that you've sort of got a community already in Orange County that you're sort of relating to as the, in terms of the coaching community.
That's right. I did do my core training as a coach with CTI, the Coaches Training Institute, that I started last year in February. And many people that I met through that community live in this area. I grew up in Minnesota and have only lived in California for a few years. So it's nice to sort of have this bond forming with new coaches, practicing coaches, all in this area that I'm living in.
I mean, how can you regret being in Orange County when it was snowing in Minnesota yesterday?
It was. Come on, it come was. On. God, I'm looking out the window at the sun shining just now. So
tell us about your business.
Well, I think where I want to start telling you about my business, Doug, is that it took me forever and all those different jobs that I had to realize that the driving force between all of the stuff that I did, from sales on to hotels, was about connection and wanting to just design an experience. And so I worked with a coach to try to figure that out. And in talking with her, I figured out that that was something that I wanted to help people with, was I felt I had a responsibility to show them that it didn't have to be so hard. Your job doesn't have to be so hard, or your what you're dealing with in life, if you're frustrated with it, you have an ally. And so I sort of built this business around the idea, and wildflower coaching, we can talk about that later, that I could be instrumental in helping individuals and teams understand that we're all just trying to create this experience that feels best to us as individuals.
So how do you distinguish between work and play?
Oh man, I don't.
That's
I don't
what I
anymore.
Thought.
I don't anymore. I used to hate, and this is honest, I used to hate going to work. I felt powerless and I felt stuck there. But things are different now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no reason it has to be that hard.
Correct.
Well, look, one of the questions that we ask have been asking for 4 years now, all of our guests on the radio show, and we always get a unique answer, is tell us about a particular experience that sort of created your guiding principle that you operate by, either in life or in your coaching practice.
Okay. Well, you know, this path to get me here with all these different jobs and sort of going a few different directions, I tried to fit my jobs. I didn't try to find a job that fit me. And in the hotel, for example, you know, I'd work so many hours a day with the same people and I'd get burned out and tired of carrying the load. And then I'd let other people carry the load and I'd feel guilty about that. And I observed many of us losing track of what we were trying to do there, which was make a person feel welcome. And started to recognize that there's some pretty complex issues that affect people's willingness to perform their work well or to feel dedicated to their job. And I was one of them, and how they're affected by their leaders and whether or not they're given power in their position to make a decision on the spot. I could cite so many examples for myself there, but I don't want to. I don't know if I wanted to do that, but, you know, and how I was rewarded or recognized or wasn't, you know, and it started to directly affect as an event, as an individual, directly became clear to me that my satisfaction at work and the outcome of that was a direct correlation, how I was feeling and not feeling good about what I was doing at work, how that was directly related to me as an individual and what I needed more of. So I thought, you know, if I'm feeling that way, were we all struggling? You know, I needed more trust. I needed more communication. I needed more compassion. And that's why I ultimately found a coach. And through that, she sort of helped me design and figure out my guiding principles, which those three words are on my business card. It's leadership, creativity, and imagination.
Oh, I like that.
Thanks. Yeah, it's sort of the pillars in which I do things from, I guess, individually and in business. Leadership really is a state of mind, I think. I mean, for me. And then, you know, imagination, sort of thinking about things in a bigger way. And then creativity would be how to put that in practice.
You know, creativity is a word that scares so many people. Mm. And they go, I'm not creative. You know, tell us what you mean when you say creativity.
It can mean a lot of different things. I think it means, you know, how can you, if there's a problem, how can you make it not a problem? Or how can you not make it so troublesome? Or creativity can mean I need an outlet to feel like I'm making something more beautiful. It can be a variety of different things, but just a way to put your energy and your thought process into something that makes you feel better about the world around you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that alone or you can do that with other people. So I think creativity is really something that happens after you access your imagination.
Okay. Any tricks for accessing our imagination here today?
Hire a coach.
Oh boy, did I walk into that one.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think people feel stuck, Doug. I think that they want to be who their boss wants to be, or they want to be who their family wants them to be, or their spouse or their friends. And the imagination side of that is, you know, what are the things I'm really wanting? What are my desires? What are things that I want more of? How can I create more beauty in my life? And how to access that really comes down to a place of imagining if you had more of what you value, what would that look like and how can you put it in practice?
Well, you know, with that, this is a perfect time to take a quick break because I can't top that at all. So we'll be right back right after this commercial.
There's something uniquely positive about the word up. When things are good, things are looking up. When you want to go fast, you speed up. And when you're really cheering, you stand up. So when you want to move up, what do you do? Well, when it comes to getting your bachelor's degree or master's degree, there's one university that stacks up better than virtually everyone else, and that university is Brandman. Brandman University is ranked by U.S. News & World Report as one of the nation's top 10 universities for online bachelor's programs, and it ranked best in the state of California. Brandman also received top honors from U.S. News & World Report for our online graduate programs in business and education. Plus, our programs are available on ground at more than 25 convenient campuses. So to wrap things up, we recommend you look us up at Brandman.edu. That's Brandman.edu. And find out how to move up like never before. Brandman University. Move up.
When it comes to pioneers in their respective industries, we all know the Apples, Starbucks, and Trader Joe's of the world. In the realm of recruiting, Decision Toolbox is the industry's best-kept secret. With 90% of their business from referrals and repeat customers, for over 20 years, Decision Toolbox's U.S.-based team of recruiters, sourcers, professional writers, quality personnel, and tech support has perfected a Six Sigma approach to talent management. No matter the size of the project, Decision Toolbox delivers incredible results. A cost per hire less than half of what contingency firms charge. With the winning candidate presented in an average of 14 days. All with a 12-month candidate warranty. With results like that, Decision Toolbox won't be a secret for long. Visit us at www.dtoolbox.com for more information.
Well, welcome back. If you joined us late, we're talking to Sarah Warman of Wildflower Coaching. And our topic today is the power of service. And Sarah has created an interesting analogy or tie between the hospitality industry and coaching, and how both are about providing service to our clients, whether they're coaching or whether they're hotel guests. And it's been fascinating. We just were talking before the break about the three words that are on her business card that are her guiding principles: leadership, creativity, and imagination. Sarah, I love those, really.
Thank you.
And if anybody's missed her explanation on that, you know, shame on you. But we're recording this. You can catch it. So, okay, let's just jump for a minute. Wildflower Coaching. What possessed you to pick Wildflower?
Indeed. Well, wildflowers are independent. They're pretty willful. You know, they can grow in a crack of a sidewalk or in a big field or in a pot in your backyard. So they also kind of know what they need. They know when it's time to root down a little deeper. They know when it's time to scatter new seeds. Change is part of a wildflower. It's part of its story. And maybe it feels better being a wildflower than it does to be a weed.
You know, when we've talked before, I thought wildflower described you or your coaching. But now I'm thinking it describes how you feel about your clients.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have been described as a wildflower, which is probably a...
The willful part is what got me there. Okay, yes. I'm sorry.
The willful, yeah. Among other names, maybe, but wildflower is a nice one. But yeah, at first blush, people might think the wildflower name is sort of just, a fluffy name for a,
yeah.
But there is some thought behind it. And that's really, I think that about myself. I think that's the grand journey we're all really on, is sort of the story of the wildflower. And if that resonates with people, then we're probably a good match.
You know, I love that your perspective as a coach is that your clients have the ability to take root anywhere, deal with any circumstances, change to meet the environment, your wildflower analogy. I mean, the coaching industry says, you know, we hold our clients as whole and healthy clients that can take care of their own problems. But I love your way of putting it.
Thank you.
That's great. Okay. So... what sort of clients do you like to work with?
You know, we were discussing this earlier. I had someone mention to me recently when we were having a conversation about coaching and what that might be like. He said, so you want me to be more, you're going to teach me to be more like you. And I said, no, I'm actually going to teach you to be more like you, maybe more like you than you've ever been. You know, I want people to feel like they're in a place where they can stretch. So it's got to be people that are sort of willing to change. I like to think of myself as a little bit of a change agent.
Okay.
But people who, they're not necessarily, you know, like at the bottom, you know, they want more. They want more of what makes them feel good. They want more beauty, more pleasure, more just the sucking the marrow out of life, you know, and they don't know how to access it or they feel stuck. And I like to say, you're not a tree, you know, you need to take a step either forward, maybe even backward or in a different direction. But sometimes people need help doing that. And I think there's just, I like working with people that have a willingness to do so. And there's a big courage component to that too. It can be fearful to work with a coach, especially as an individual in a team. You know, your company may be telling you to work with this coach, and it's something you have to do while you're within the confinement of your work four walls. But if you step out on your own and say, I want to improve, you know, this area of my life, there can be a little bit of, there can be an anxious feeling, and I want people to feel like willing and open and ready to do the work.
You know, we talked a little bit about before the show, the fact that coaching as a function is not limited to just a professional coach and a client, that it's an attitude or it's a activity that we all take place, that takes place all the time in all of our conversations. Mm-hmm. You want to comment on that at all?
You know, I think I've been using some bits of coaching throughout my life and not really knowing that I was doing it. I think, you know, the 90% of the other parts of my conversation was loving to give my opinion and hearing my own voice, which I'm cognizant of now. I don't give my opinion hardly at all in coaching. But connecting it back to the whole service and creating an experience for people, you know, coaching is asking, what do you want? What does that feel like? What feels better? You know, and I want people in my orbit to know that I care about that.
How do you like working with teams?
I love working with teams. I think it's such a fun and funny and interesting thing to do now that I am not so absorbed in a team myself. There is a lot of pride that can come with working with a certain team. I think in the hotel industry, for example, you know, you're working with a sales team and an operations team who are constantly at war with one another. But the interesting thing is they're all trying to accomplish the same thing. So I get energy from working with a group of people, kind of creating this situation or experience where then they can realize that that's the end game, and they're better putting their effort in that together as a team and accessing why they're doing this in the first place.
You know, it seems to me that one of my own observation is one of the key ingredients that's typically missing in, especially in teamwork, is the opportunity to celebrate successes.
I love a good celebration.
Yeah. I mean, in the hospitality business, in the various teams, I mean, now what you talked about opening up the W.
Yeah.
You know, what was that like? Was there an opportunity when it was done, when you accomplished it? Was there a breather where people acknowledged and celebrated the success?
No. I mean, it slowed down so we could catch our breath. But, you know, in that industry, that's 365 days a year. You know, you don't close your doors in a hotel. So I would say there wasn't like a planned celebration necessarily, but people found, you know, we found our stride. But again, you know, you can really quickly get into some patterns of not feeling like you own what you're doing at work. The celebrating didn't come as a team as much as it maybe should have.
Yeah.
Celebrating is a big part of feeling like you've accomplished something, and we accomplished something huge. There's a lot of little ways to celebrate life all the time.
You know, I know this is about you, but I'll just tell a story that I was at a wild animal park yesterday with some of my grandchildren who are on Easter break. And we went on the tram ride, and there was a guide talking about the wild animals and talking all about them and explaining them and what their habitat was like and what they were like. And when we got back to the start of the ride, and as he pulled up and said, thanks for being with me today, there was spontaneous applause by everybody in the trams.
Oh, that's lovely.
To celebrate what a great job he had done, the experience that he had created, you know, which kind of made me, you're talking here today made me think of that, because it was not the information that he conveyed. I can't remember anything about the giraffes or the lions or the white rhino and whether it's extinct or not. But I can remember, I can feel the emotion of the experience that was created.
That's exactly right.
You know,
that's how it was, less about the information and more about how that person wanted you to feel. And that's where the power is.
And you know, that's sort of a challenge in coaching, because people want to know, if you coach me, what am I going to get?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what am I going to put up on the mantle to recognize this coaching effort? And yet we're talking about experience here, maybe being more important than anything else. How do you relate to that?
Again, just back to, you know, when I was in the hotel myself, what I felt like I was lacking in the, you know, my energy level, my communication, my excitement around what I was doing, I could not then put that into my team or give that to the guests that I was serving. And so I feel like what you get from coaching isn't something that you can point to, like when I was in sales and you could just hit a goal. It's like a domino effect. You know, you sort of get better at being you and all these good ways about you. All the strong, powerful stuff about you gets better. And it touches everyone in your life, in your personal life and your professional life. And you may not be able to measure that, but you can certainly feel it.
You know, and that's a challenge. You know, there's so many surveys on the effectiveness of coaching. And some of them measure coaching as being effective in terms of, you know, what was your ROI? Mm-hmm. Did you achieve the function that you identified in the first coaching session? And was it more valuable than what you spent for the coaching? And then there is the other part of coaching, the experience you're talking about, that frankly, when I talk to experienced master coaches that have been at it for a long time, they have clients they've had for years.
Mm-hmm.
And they certainly aren't working on the same problem they started working with the client on.
Yeah, I mean, that's an excellent point. I do some goal setting, but I think about times that I've worked with my coach, Doug, and it was times, I understand this is a PG-13 show, but the times that she pissed me off the most were the times that were most effective for me. I didn't realize it at the time, but a coach is really not meant to just help you go along to get along and say that you're right about everything. So there's no point. It's sort of figuring out a way to push a little bit so you can investigate some of these cobwebs and clean it up and shine a light on some of this stuff.
So coaching isn't all soft, fuzzy feelings.
Nope.
It's accountability.
Yep.
Pushing.
Yeah. And like I said, I didn't even necessarily know it at the time. I'd get frustrated when I'd feel push to answer certain things or to investigate certain areas in my life. But ultimately, those were the things that were the most useful to me.
Do you think that some of the maybe most significant moments in coaching were also some of the most uncomfortable moments?
Without question. Without question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, look, as we're getting ready to wrap up here, you know, I have a tendency of talking over the guests, so I just want to give you a chance to talk a little bit more about something that I kind of interrupted or went by on, or something you'd like to share with our audience that all of a sudden you thought of it as we got to this point.
Yeah, you know, it went by so fast. I feel like, you know, my family would say, give me a microphone, I'll never give it back. You know, I think in terms of what makes wildflower coaching and my style a little different is I think I've had in personal and professional life and relationships quite a few failures and successes myself, and I can recognize places where I had too many options, not enough options. I was scared of my options. I hated my options. and I didn't know how to deal with it or process it. And it was often hard for me to find a place that I didn't feel judged, primarily because I had a lot of judgment on myself while I was doing that. I think when someone works with me, that's probably one of my main a main focus up front is that they don't feel judgment. And how it connects back to the service portion is I really want someone that works with me to know that it's a tailor fit to match them. This is not a paint by number, you know, I coach everyone the same because I absolutely do not. Fulfillment is different for everyone. There's some common denominators. I mean, everyone's experienced fear or loss or pride or embarrassment or wonder or excitement. It's part of being human and the grand experience, but how we process that and what we do with it is different for everyone. So it's about finding a person's individual strengths and their challenges, and that's the way that they'll be able to create movement and change, is using their unique set of strengths to deal with them.
That's wonderful.
Thanks.
That's wonderful.
So, I don't know. I'm drinking drinks a little stronger than the Shirley Temples these days. I meet people in person too if they're willing to do that. There's an arm of my business called Coaching in a Cocktail, which is a fun side to do, fun way to do it. But I also do a lot of my work over the phone, and I've got clients all over the country and. They, I think, are all wildflowers in their own right.
Wonderful. You know, I would hate to try to put a label on you. And, you know, people tend to do that. I mean, we can say, okay, so if I'm going to look for a coach, why would I pick Sarah? Well, she's got experience in the hospitality industry. Okay, that's a business reason. But I think today what you have shared with our audience is a perspective on your clients, your wildflower analogy, mm-hmm. a perspective on your clients and their ability, a dedication to servicing them, a non-paint-by-numbers kind of coaching that would certainly make me want to look at working with you as a coach. So I want to thank you very much.
Thanks, Doug.
For being with us today.
How
do people get in touch with you?
I'm at wildflowercoaching.com. All one word, or sarah@wildflowercoaching.com is my email address.
Okay. Well, Sarah, thank you very much for being with us today, and welcome to the Coaching Perspective Radio community.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's see. Some announcements here. The Orange County chapter of the ICF meeting, the May 8th dinner meeting, will be at the Wyndham Hotel in Costa Mesa. Can't say that I know the topic offhand, but you can check it out by going to the internet, coachesoforangecounty.com. And Sarah, again, thank you very much for being with us. This has just been great. I love having a guest in studio and a guest as articulate as you are, especially. So those of you who tuned in late, shame on you, and be sure to catch the podcast. And I know I'm going to go back and listen to this again. There's a lot of a lot of wisdom in the conversation here today on the other side of the table that I want to give some thought to. So, again, to our audience, thank you for joining us today. This is Doug Gefeller signing off, thanking you for your support. I hope you've enjoyed the show and that the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can use to identify and achieve your goals.
You've been listening to the only show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.